Welcome to Christian Men's Life Group Bible Study. I'm Ken, and joining me today is Floyd. How are you doing, Floyd?
Doing good, doing good. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing great. Well, today we're going to do a Bible study on Matthew 6 and Matthew 7. So basically, the first question that I have, if we were to sound a trumpet to be sure others see our good deeds, who are we like? You want to tackle that one, Floyd?
Sure. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes it clear that if we do things to be like others or to show off, we're kind of being like the pagans, those people who don't know God. In other places, he says we're being hypocrites because our actions should come from a place of knowing Jesus and wanting to do his will rather than wanting others, if that makes
sense. Makes total sense. Well, I appreciate that. If you sound a trumpet to ensure others see your good deeds, you are like a hypocrite, especially referring to Matthew verse 6:2, which says, do not sound a trumpet before you when charitable acts imply that you are doing good deeds solely for the public recognition is not a genuine kindness. So pretty much exactly what you had. So the second question is going to be, when do good deeds, how should they be done? Floyd?
Yeah, so Jesus also says that when we do good deeds, he says they should be done in secret. It's an act between us and God. Again, not doing it so that everyone can kind of see us. And I see, and you've probably seen too, we don't see it in a Christian men's group because we don't allow like outside links, but you'll see posts from people who are like filming themselves as they go feed the homeless or do something for someone. That's not to say that you can't share, hey, here's this ministry I'm a part of, or here's how we're helping people to inspire others to do it. But if you're specifically doing it just so other people can see you and can give you, you know, like the, hey, look at you, look at how awesome you are, then that's not what Jesus wants. He says we should do it in secret because if we're doing it for other people to be seen, again, we're not doing it for the right purpose.
Exactly. Because if you go on TikTok, if you go on YouTube, that's all you see, which are great suggestions to help someone. But do it like what they said. Don't let your left hand or right hand know what they're doing. Exactly the same thing is we got to do it the things out of our kindness of our heart to actually gain any kind of popularity, any kind of, because all they're doing is they're doing it for their likes, and that's all they're doing it. On to question number three. The disciples were taught to pray. To whom were they address their prayers? Let me tackle this one. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them to address their prayers to their Father. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, which begins with Father, followed by your name. So, all right, on to the next question, Floyd. Why should we want to forgive others that trespass? Floyd?
Jesus said that we're to forgive others because that's what God did for us. There's also the scripture that says if we don't forgive others, then God won't forgive us our sin. But the main reason is this is what God modeled for us. When we were enemies of God, he sent his son to die for us out of his love for us. So what we're expected to do is the same thing. We're expected to forgive other people when they sin against us. It's the model that God created for us. It's the model that the church is supposed to create for the world. And it's the model that we as Christians are supposed to do. That doesn't mean, as some people take it, that we're supposed to allow people to walk all over us or be doormats. Because no one can make the claim that Jesus was a doormat. But Jesus did extend forgiveness to those people who didn't deserve it over and over and over again, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to model that because that's what God did for us.
I got a question for you, Floyd. I got a question. Did you ever have, during my walk, that's my hardest thing was forgiveness. Did you have a hard time with that, with forgiving people that have done you wrong?
I do. I still struggle with it. And this may not sound like holy, like we're Christians, we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I have to go and say, I'm going to forgive them just because God told me to. Not because, oh, you know what? They've earned it. It's just, you know what? I'm just going to be obedient to God and forgive them because that's what God wants. It's not as freeing as when we can totally release ourselves from it and forgive it. But it does keep me in the habit of, okay, you know what? They may not deserve it, but I still need to forgive them. It puts that at the forefront. It's hard for me to turn around and forgive people that are hateful. You know, people, if someone says something mean to or about my wife, I don't want to forgive them or my children. It's hard to forgive people that may look at me and hate me because of the color of my skin or for whatever reason, but that's what Jesus did for us. And no matter what reason I can come up with for here's why I shouldn't forgive them, it cannot match, you know, Jesus and God had the ultimate reason to not forgive humanity, but they did so anyway. So I have to lean into, okay, you know what? I have to find it in my heart to forgive them and then move.
I know. You know what? I have trouble at times with forgiving, and I always had that problem. I think it's getting better with my, as I mature more in my walk, but it is. It's hard when you have your human instinct that kicks in when someone does you wrong, and especially when it's, you're talking like your wife, your children, or anything. Anyone does you wrong, you kind of want to step in and you kind of want to protect them. I feel that. And I could just imagine, you know, when Jesus was up there on the Calvary and people were, you know, crucifying him, imagine, you know, you could tell his human side wasn't kicking in. It was his God side, because he said, do not, I forget the exact words, but he says, you know, it's not their fault for, they don't know what is going on. Please forgive them. And that's strong. And tonight I could never be able to do that. But of course, that's why there's only one Jesus.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's go on to the next question. Why should we not lay up our treasures on earth for ourselves? Floyd?
One of the best reasons that we shouldn't is because this is not what the Bible says. This is the human terminology. We can't take it with us. I know we think we can, but we can't take it with us. But the Bible actually says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So if we focus on accumulating all we can, and again, let me say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with people working, making a good job, earning good money, putting away savings. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being a good steward of the resources that God gives us. But there is something wrong with making our primary focus here on this earth to get rich, to make as much money as I can. That's where the difference comes in, because that's all going to pass away. And then we miss the point of storing up the treasures in heaven that are eternal, the rewards that God's going to give us for doing his will.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So I know we got to pretty much, it's not like saying, hey, you know what, let's just not save. I mean, you know, we do those things too, especially for our loved ones, you know, to have them to not struggle, and we want the best for them. It's not that, is you can't just rely on all the money. Like you said, we can't put our hearse is never seen a U-Haul truck right behind it. It just doesn't happen, because we can't take it with us. What we have to do is the things that we could do that our true treasures are up in heaven. So, all right, well, let's go for question number three. Should we worry about what we shall eat, drink, or put on our body? Let me grab that one, Floyd. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds up in the air. They do not shawl or rehab or store away in barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So what's that pretty much tell you, Floyd?
We're not supposed to worry. It's kind of like, say, if we're worrying about stuff, we're one, not trusting God. We're not content with what God can provide. I will say this, though. It is okay and it's normal to be concerned. I think there's a difference between concern. This phrase for worry is all-encompassing, going into overdrive about, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And there are certain circumstances that can bring that on. We both know people who have been impacted by the hurricanes that have just occurred. People lost their homes, their businesses, their loved ones, and they're sitting nowhere with nowhere to kind of sleep, no job to go to. So yeah, they're worrying. At the same time, there are a lot of them that are, yeah, I'm worried, but you know what? I have nowhere else to turn, so I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that God is going to provide. That doesn't mean God's going to snap his fingers and a home is going to appear, but God is going to make a way to help them through that situation. And if we give into worry, we kind of show that we're not content with what God provides, or we don't believe that God can provide. Yeah, sometimes we're going to get concerned about stuff because we live in a world of material things. And, you know, sometimes those things can be damaged or can be something can happen to them. But, you know, like you said, with the treasures on earth, just one stock market crash away from losing all those treasures, which is why we shouldn't trust in treasure. But we can always trust in God to be able to provide for us and also to see us through those situations that occur in the earthly realm, hurricanes, famines, wars, all those kind of things.
That's a great answer, Floyd. You know what? I'm in California, and we live where every year there's wildfires. That's not including the earthquakes, but the earthquakes are far and few. But I mean, you're pretty much like the people who live up in the mountains. You know, you get one little fire and whatever you stored up in that house, you get like a half an hour of preparation to all store, put everything in your truck, in your car, and take off. You can't, you know, all that stuff, you think about what's the most important thing. Well, you know, some will grab a computer, some will grab a thing. But, you know, in my case, you know, it'll be family pictures. It'll be stuff that is unreplaceable. We got to just realize, we got to not be so materialistic, because I know I could get materialistic and I probably, you know, a latest phone comes out, I'm like, intrigued to buy it. And I want to go grab a new phone. But what happens when you, in a couple of years later, that phone is pretty much obsolete and you're onto another phone. And you don't know how many collections of phones I got in my garage that are just collecting that I needed to have. But right now, it's just dead weight. It's just like money that was spent wastefully, and we got to just prioritize how we spend our money. So, all right, we are on to Matthew number 7. Why are we not to judge others? Matthew 7:1. Floyd, can you grab that?
Sure. A lot of people will kind of nail to that where we're not to judge others, and we're not, but we're also supposed to make a right judgment. Matthew 1, I'm going to read it in the complete Jewish Bible version, which is the language that the Jewish person in that day would have understood as they were reading this or as they were hearing this. And in verse 1 of Matthew 7, it says, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For the way that you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure you." And then it goes on, it says about, you know, the splinter. Why do you see a splinter in your brother's eye, but not the log in your own eye? It's saying, yeah, don't judge others unless you're prepared to be judged by the same standard that you're using to judge others. And if you look online, a lot of people are not judging others by the same standard they want used to judge themselves.
No, they're definitely not. And I see a lot of that. And unfortunately, sometimes I see that in church too. And, you know, you see something where, you know, some people will criticize exactly that you're not doing it right. And it's not like that. We shouldn't be like that. We should be building each other up rather than tearing each other apart. All right. Well, let's do the next question. If we're to judge another unrighteously, what are we called? You want to tackle that one, Floyd?
Yeah. So in that same kind of passage, it says that we're hypocrites if we judge others without taking the plank out of our own eyes. We take the plank out of our own eyes, then we'll see clearly, remove the speck from our brother's eyes. So basically saying that we're being hypocrites. And that verse throughout Matthew 7 and some in Matthew 6 is used over and over and over, where Jesus is criticizing people for saying one thing but doing another, which is basically what a hypocrite is. You said you were going to do this, or you say this, but you do something else. And that's what he calls those who kind of judge other people but don't hold themselves to that same standard.
You know what? That's awesome, Floyd. On the last podcast, I was kind of talking about kind of what I was doing actions that I did that were hypocritical. And I think, you know, we're going to have weak moments in our walk where we're going to do something where anger kind of controls us, where we're not making the best solution. I've done that before where, you know, you're going somewhere, you're in a rush and you want to blame someone. But pretty much if I just left 10 minutes or 15 minutes early, this whole thing would have resolved. And it wasn't that person's fault that I missed the airline. It was my fault. But sometimes we want to point the finger at someone else. But that's what we have to do. We can't, hypocrites, got to look at our own walk before we judge others. So let's see, how should we treat others as we wish to be treated? I'll take this one, Floyd. People's mirror the behavior they are shown. Treat people with respect so that they treat you and others that they come across with respect. Build a better future. Provide people with the support that they need to make a better way to life. Did you have anything on this question?
No, I think you nailed it. We're supposed to, you know, that's that phrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, comes to mind. And Jesus says, this sums up the law and the prophet, love God and love others like you love yourself. We should be treating people with the respect that we want. We should treat them with the love that God shows to us.
Awesome. And you know what? I took a little weekend trip with my wife this weekend. And so on the airplane, I was watching a movie, and what I had saved up on my iPad was War Room. Have you seen that movie, Floyd?
Yeah, the prayer one, right?
The prayer one, yeah. And yeah. So there was one part that where the husband, you know, the husband sees someone who just fired him, and he had a lot of anger for this person because, you know, he wanted to prosecute him and all that. So a guy was out there with a flat tire, and he comes on over. It's a buff guy. He comes on over, walks to the car, grabs a lug nut remover. The guy's kind of scared. You can see that scare in his eye. And what he does, he helps him with that flat tire. So he goes in there. The wife's looking at, admiring him and saying, oh, wow, you know, that's great. So goes in there. Little girl says, hey, why did you do that? And says, well, I want to be, that's the way I want to be treated. And that's what we got to remember. You know, we got to treat people like the ones we want to be treated. If we're not giving out that, they're not going to give it back to us. So I thought that was a great portion. And it just clicked in my head because I just basically read this question. And said, I just remember that in the movie. So, all right, well, next one. How did Jesus teach? Floyd, can you grab that?
Without going into a long deal, but I'm a pastor, I'm used to speaking for a long time. So there's two different words that are used for the word authority or the word teacher. And the Bible says that Jesus taught as one who had authority. And if you look at the phrases, you'll see the teachers of the law used throughout the Gospels. And then you'll see a different word, teacher, that's used for Jesus. The word that's used for teachers of the law is a word that means scribe, that we translate into the English word teacher, because they were the people who would look through the Old Testament and then transcribe it, make copies. You know, today we just print them or we get it on our phone, but they would make copies of it. So they knew the law more from memory and, oh, this is what it says, because I've written that, you know, 100 times. This is what it says. Jesus taught us someone who didn't just know it from memory, but who had authority to speak it because he knew the actual intent and the reason and the purpose of the law. So to hear someone say, you know, oh, you can't do that because the Bible says, you can't do this because the Bible says, you can't do that because the Bible says, kind of goes along with that judging, how some people judge people. I just had a woman who reached out to me and was like, hey, I was at my church and the last pastor didn't like me because I was a single parent, because I smoked, and because I forget what the third reason was. I responded, oh yeah, you can't do those. It's in the book of Second Opinions, but it's not in the Bible, right? Because people will say, oh, you can't do all these things because they think it's scripture, but it's not. And so what Jesus did is, that's why when you look through a lot of the Sermon on the Mount, he comments and says, you have heard it said. Not that you have read this, you have heard it said, because the Pharisees would take the law and then they put their spin on it and say, this is what we have to do. And Jesus said, well, here, you have heard it said, meaning by the Pharisees, this. But I'm telling you, and he would go and say, here's the intent, the purpose, and here's the true way to fulfill the law, which again, he taught as one who had authority, because the only one who had authority to to change the law or to expound on the law was the one who wrote the law, which was God. So that's why the people were marveled and they were blown away, because they weren't just being given, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do that. They were being given, here's how you can live this out, and here's what you shouldn't be doing, because that's not really what the... And again, I apologize for that long-winded
answer. No apologies accepted. That was awesome. You know, what I enjoy about his teaching is Jesus always did parables. And I know some people don't like parables, but love parables. And it's just because it's like a lot of his teaching, or he would use stories like the farmer and his two sons. I love those things, because those things, just like if you go into church and you hear someone's personal experience, it kind of makes it, you understand it a little bit more. And I love that part. So, all right, well, the question for you, Floyd, is which trees are to be cut down? He was saying that during his sermon.
Well, Jesus said that any tree that doesn't bear fruit, doesn't matter how much you know the Bible, doesn't matter how much you show up at the Sunday celebrations, but if you're not bearing fruit, then he said that those trees would be cut down. And a lot of people have different understandings of what does it mean to bear fruit. I think the best analogy in my head is when you bear fruit, when trees bear fruit, they produce something. They produce a fruit, a visible, tangible thing. And the same is true of the Christians. We need to be bearing fruit with our lives, which is why, and I hope none of them are listening, but the Christians who say, I don't need to go to church, I can just sit in my house and read the Bible for myself, I don't want to go talk to people at work, I don't want to go talk to people in my neighborhood and share the gospel, you're not bearing any fruit. You're not doing anything. It's great that you're reading the Word of God, but apparently you do need to go to church because you're not understanding it. Otherwise, you would know that Jesus wants us to be a part of the world. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to produce a result from our walk with Him that's visible to other people, so that they may know that, yeah, there is a God who loves.
That's great. It's like if you, like in the modern day, it's like someone who finds the cure for cancer. What's he going to do? Is he just going to just hoard it up and just not pass it on to anyone? Not to heal many people? And that's basically like the same kind of view, because you could change someone's life by what you tell them. You know, they could be on the wrong path, and you could just, whatever you learn, we should be able to share it, because someone could just be in a bad moment, or where they just feel like this is not, nothing's going to ever get better. And we got to just be able to minister to people. I think we can't just keep it to ourselves. We got to just be able to let it other people know. Exactly. So I got our last question, Floyd. We are told to beware of false prophets. How should we know them, Floyd?
So this is how we distinguish false prophets and true teachers of the Word of God, not just by what they say, but are they bearing fruit for the kingdom? You can look at what they are producing, what they are kind of bearing fruit in, and see if it matches up with the Word of God. We're teaching through the book of Colossians, and Paul explains in Colossians that the fruit from the Colossians that he saw came from the gospel that they heard, believed in, and then the Holy Spirit that God put in them as a result of that believing. So when you hear people say things and try to do things or that don't line up with the scriptures, then they're a false prophet. When you hear people, and unfortunately, I mean, I thought we were done after COVID, but then keeps coming up. When you hear people that keep saying, here's the date for the return of Christ, like every crisis, you know, people were saying, oh, look, there's, you know, war in Israel, which, yeah, a lot of things are lining up with end time biblical events. But then they were like, oh, on this date, Christ is going to return. On this date, Christ is going to return. Soon as, you know, one of these two people get in office, Christ is going to return. And I'm like, that doesn't line up with scripture. So the fruit that they're bearing, you know, it's false, it's bad. And Jesus says to be aware of that. And he says we can look at what they're producing to help distinguish between false prophets and true teachers of the Word of God.
That's great. I really like your answer. And, you know, as my profession, I landscaping. This parable really hits home to me because what it means is when you start talking about a fruit, you know, there could be several fruit trees. And if you look at fruit trees, some of them could look healthy, but once you bite into the fruit, it could be sour, it could be dead, it could just not be good. There's a way that you need to produce a healthy tree, which is water, fertilizing, sunlight, cutting off dead limbs. And that could just go on for our walk too. If there's something bad that's happening in your walk, cut it out. If there is something that needs nutrition, well, that is Bible studies, what we're doing here. That is that's reading the Bible. That's fellowship. Water and light. And light is kind of like God's word. That is all those little things help produce a healthy tree. And you need to make sure that tree is healthy rather than being a sour. So, Floyd, that's pretty much it for our last question. So, Floyd, next week is going to be election. And I was just wondering if you could, we never did this before, but can you end it off with a prayer of unity? Please pray, buddy.
Sure. God, we just, first and foremost, we lift up the men from the Christian Men's Life Group. Pray that you would bless them, encourage them, be with them and their families. We lift up our nation to you, because we know this election has caused so much division. But as Ken said, we pray for a spirit of unity, especially amongst the people of God, that we would acknowledge first and foremost that no matter who wins this election, that you are still on the throne, that we would acknowledge that we are ambassadors of your kingdom and our responsibility is to your kingdom first and foremost above anything else, that we would acknowledge that we are here to share and show the love of Christ and not to promote a political party or a political candidate, but to tell others about the Prince of Peace and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. And God, I pray that you would allow any hostilities that may occur, up any frustrations that may occur from the results of this election to be put aside by your people, that we might band together and show the world that there is a God who loves them, and that the kingdom of heaven is made available to all through the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Floyd. And again, if you guys have any comments about this podcast or any kind of questions, please leave a comment below. And then we just want to encourage you guys to read your Bible and try to, with the knowledge, try to share it with other people. So we just want to say bye for now, and thank you for listening.